September 5th, 2003. It's a Lot from Pedro Show. Thank you.
summer. Don't you go down, I know you're going uptown, down.
September 5th, 2003. It's a Watt from Bedro Show.
Thank you.
Called Untitled 90320. It must be some kind of label coding from the record company or something. September 5th, 2003, it's a Watt from Bevo Show. Disrespect Dave Alexander because he's an excellent bass player, big influence on me, very honored to try to fill his shoes. But folks should realize that these guys aren't machines or jukeboxes. They're going to play what they want. And you know, Iggy has never said, hey, let's do these other songs, and then a big fight or some protest or anything. It's just an understood thing that there's two Stooges on. Although they do a song from Iggy's new album, we do Skull Ring, but that's a song Scotty and Ron play on the new album. I think it's going to be out the 1st of November. Tomorrow night I leave, and we're going to play a big festival in Spain in the Basque part in the north, and then some racetrack 100 miles southeast of Paris, I think after a race. But it's a trip for me. Last week I played two gigs with them. We made up the Detroit gig, and then we did an AIDS benefit for the LifeBeat.org people in New York City at Roseland. The Detroit gig was one of the most intense gigs I've ever played in my life.
Wow.
I mean, it was, I know it was a big deal, you know, coming home and to play for the cats there, and there was always, from what I hear from the Ashtons and Iggy, a love-hate kind of thing with playing home, but there was a lot of love. Very enthusiastic crowd. A lot of the cats weren't even born when they last played, you know. It was a trip. It was so intense. There was so much energy from the crowd, and we probably played the best out of all the gigs we've done so far. It was, the band was really on. Scotty was grooving, Ron was wailing.
Everything's good.
McKay was blasting on the horn, and Iggy was the bow of the boat. I mean, this was incredible. he just, I mean, 56 years old, he just doesn't stop. And even when he takes blows, like, you know, the guy just leaps out into the crowd like he's diving into a pool. And this one time, there was these two huge guys, and he goes right into their arms, and they just threw him back, you know. I mean, he's built, great shape, but he's kind of a smaller man. And they just flung him, and he hit the deck face first, and he was up, didn't miss a beat, didn't miss a word. No huffing and puffing. At one point, you know, he did need some water, and like nobody could, I guess, see his cues, you know, or like, please, on the mic, please, you know, water, water. So we were doing 1970, and I went over and got a water bottle for him. It was kind of tough to play the lick. I might have fell off a little bit. But, you know, I wanted the man to have some juice. I mean, he gives out so much. And in real cool time, he just started asking folks to come on stage. And by went into No Fun, and it was 200 people. I don't know, 150, whatever. People were on the stage, and no bullage. Some cats were trying to pull his pants off. I mean, it wasn't. So he had some massive plumber crack on. But you know, he's all about being alive and human, and I think that's why he was telling the kids, "Come on up. There's no difference, no moat, no hierarchy." Look up, look down, kind of thing. Come on, you know, just folks, let's give it a go. And I got kind of pushed up against my amps. There was a lot of shit being thrown at us too. I mean, you know, and it's one of the clear channel things, so it's plastic beer bottles. But I mean, some of them were pretty full. So, and they're mainly aiming at Ig, you know. And although he dodged most, and when he'd come in front of me, you know, they'd. I never got hit either. I dodged it. I could see the stuff coming. So it was pretty intense. The only thing I was scared of was water on the deck because of my knees. You know, I didn't want to slip. Mm-hmm. Last time my knee went out, like 12 years ago, was because of beer on the stage and slipping. So that's the only thing I was really paranoid of. I was pretty much laughing. And people, young guys coming up to me, you know, while I'm playing. And here we're playing the song, and they're... asking me about gigs they saw me at. Hey, you know, saw you at St. Andrew's Hall with the is it the Screaming Trees? You know, I'm pulling on my arm, you know. Not belligerent, not mean, they just get caught up. I mean, I don't think anybody really expected they'd be on the stage.
Yeah, this opportunity to chat.
Yeah, and have a little spiel.
Gotta be nice feeling good this time, too, and not being all sick.
Oh, yeah, I was totally aware of what was going on. That was a lot different than the other dealio. Wow, I wonder why. 1, 2. Maybe that's why. 1.
Too many knobs to diddle with.
I think I got the 1, 2. Try yours, brother man.
Yeah, we're over on this side. Hello.
You over there?
Checking 1, 2. Check
1, 2. 1, 2. 1, 2.
Ah.
Seems I'm coming over on both sides. 1, 2. Okay. Anyway. How that happened. 1, 2. 1, 2. 1, 2. Okay. Sorry about that.
That's it's live like at behind the scenes.
Love Grotto, Pleasure Point, Wild Kingdom. Kind of technique there. Flying. Trying as we're flying. So, it was quite a rush. You know, I really wanted to do well for them. I knew it was an important gig. And, God, the Sonics were great. Sonic Youth played before us. And they were smoking. They were so good. I was so really inspired on a lot of levels. So I could just imagine D-Boom laughing. You know? Can you believe what's going down here? You believe this?
Yeah, it got to be a pretty big mind blow looking at it all in a backwards perspective from starting off days.
Yeah.
Thinking you'd be up there.
Yeah, and
so,
just couldn't imagine it, you know. But, hey, it's in the now, it's in the moment, so I can't think about it too much. I got to do.
So for all the years playing all those songs in all the different variations that you've done them and now doing them with the real dudes, of all those classics, you got a couple tunes that you have more fun or get off on that more than others? A couple favorites?
Oh, I like them all, man. I like them all. Of course, TVI is an incredible groove. And Funhouse. Loose. We opened with Loose, which is such a rush. So intense. It's like a train wreck, man. I mean, 1969. All them songs. Dirt. Yeah, Dirt's funny, you know. He goes, Mike, I'm going to ask you to do something here that I probably am never going to ask at another time. I said, what's that, Iggy? He says, on this middle part here, I want you to play some more notes. And Ron, that's a big difference from playing with these other bands. The other bands, I kind of do more like Atlas and Jack Bruce. But with the actual Ashton Brothers and Iggy, I play more like Dave Alexander. And it was funny because when Iggy saw that, Ron right away goes, but no noodling. And then Iggy says right after that, yeah, no top ramen. So it's like kind of hard to know how much should I be playing here, you know. I don't want to be Bogart, and it's not a reggae band. So. But it's really something. You know, how many things come first? Well, not first, but second, third, fourth, fifth hand. And this is like, yeah, first hand. I get to go right to the source.
It's really so tripping. You get quite a maestro, huh?
Oh, yeah. Conductor. Bow of the boat. I feel like one of the kids, in a way, watching the gig, and I just have this bass on, and I'm playing along with him. You know? My eyes are on Iggy almost the whole time. To go over to Scotty. The Roseland gig was hard to hear. The sound was so bad, I'd have to run over there to their side to hear Ron's intros and Scotty's hi-hat and stuff. Because it was built in the 40s, like for a dance club or something.
Uh-huh.
So it was a kind of sound, so... That gig was kind of tough. Mentally, I wasn't too together as much. Pretty nervous. Not as bad as the Jones Beach one, but... You know, the first one in Coachella, I was so sick, I couldn't really be aware. And then the first one where I was aware was Jones Beach, and it was kind of overwhelming, and just the whole situation. And then it kind of came up on me again, just the situation. I mean, you know, I got my friends there, and I just wanted, you know, like I said, I have this big responsibility, I feel, for the Stooges and doing right. But I don't want to play right for my friends. And it's a lot of emotions, a lot of feelings going through on me. And I didn't have it as together as Detroit. Detroit was the best for me, focus-wise. And I really rallied myself before that gig. And before the gig in Roseland, I got... kind of nervous, big time, kind of frazzled, flustered, you know. Even though I got a lot of gigs under my belt from all the years, so that stuff comes together, you know, almost like a momentum thing.
Mm-hmm.
So even if I'm in doubt and all this stuff, I could still push it through, but sometimes emotionally I'm not all together. And they're quite a challenge. But, you know, hey. I had to, like my pop used to say, don't think, do. Sometimes. I mean, when the moment calls on that. He said, you know what I mean? You just, and it's hard to keep other things out sometimes. People are looking, you know. People you love are watching you right there. And, you know, and they're like, Don't clam, you know. And of course, it's, you're going to have a better chance of clamming if...
thinking about
it. Yeah, you know. And then being aware that you can clam really isn't going to help that. You know, oh, yeah, you know, you could clam here. Yeah, no joke, you know. Even if you weren't thinking about whether you could clam, you could still clam. So it's just another layer of anxiety.
Up it's fine, you know. Just think, you only have to do it. Results are always perfect. That's old news.
I don't know about perfect in my case. Yeah, I'm trying to aim high. And it's also a funny trip. I mean, to see Mr. Iggy, Senor Pop, work is intense. I mean, it's just it's mental floss. It just clears away everything, every cobweb you might have in your mind, you know. And so, and always the only way to react to it for me is laughing. I can't believe it, you know. It's just too overwhelming. The guy really lets it all hang out. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's inspiration.
I felt like a kid in the crowd when I was down at Coachella, you know, and just busting out laughing. He was doing his sexy man dance and just going off and yelling, "Fuck you, fucking motherfucker."
It's so funny at the end of L.A. Blues, you know, "I am you. I am you." You know, he's telling these kids, like, 30 years younger than 35 years. It's great. I think anybody come and see Iggy Pop and the Ashton Brothers play would be charged up to start their own band easy, or write a book, or make a film, or do a painting. I mean, you know what I mean? It's just so affirmative, so empowering, their whole trip. Release, wild, freak flag fly thing. It's great, and those songs are timeless.
Mm-hmm.
So timeless. They'll never seem out of date. And the words are trippy enough where you can make them almost about anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's a great thing. Great thing to be part of. Now, in the middle of last month, the Sonics came to town after that blackout thing. And they were doing this Allison Anders put on this festival called Don't Knock the Rock, and they played a gig, and then the next day they had this thing where the Guitar Center, or the Shithard Center, has this like kind of thing like Man's Chinese Theater, you know. It used to be called Grauman's corporate thing. Okay. Anyway, where they got the movie star actor's hands, and, you know, footprints and cement. Well, not to be entirely original, the Shithard people have done the same thing with these people doing music. A lot of them are like, you know, whatever, you know, rock star or whatever. But they have their songs. They asked the songs to do it. So they came there as a big dealio on Sunset Boulevard in front of the store, you know, and then putting their hands in the cement. And they had folks, well, they told me this. Thurston asked me, you know, "Hey, why don't you say something, because we're going to have these folks talk about us and everything." Well, when it came to do, you know, I was... it's that KLOS guy, Jim Ladd. He liked this. And then Michael DeBar. Okay. Kind of talking about themselves, really. And then they bring me in. Thurston pulls my shit up. And like, I'm the big introduction to this thing. You know, and it's funny, in the Detroit gig, well, the Blacked Out gig, so, but we were there in town. I conked during the night. And, you know, I conked on the deck, and I woke up. I was reading Nick Tosh's new book, In the Hand of Dante, and I guess I was rolling around, you know, in my sleep, and I woke up with the book on my head, my forehead, like TP. And, you know, I looked at it, and I saw what was written on the page, and it made me, you know, thing, people, somebody or whatever. But I kind of thought, whoa, you know, this is kind of like, is this Trippy Passage? I think it's Dante, Tosh's writing about Dante himself. Some young kid or something looking up in the sky, trying to figure things out. But the way he wrote it and stuff made me think of when me and D. Boone first saw the Sonics. So I thought, hey, I'll read this. You know, I thought he was going to be part of this whole dealio instead of being one little dimension. So it's kind of abstract, you know, to say the least, and especially for all this merch stuff and these folks. And I read this thing, you know, kind of nervous, you know. I didn't, you know, so much attention, you know. And you could just, well, Thurston said later, it was like the question marks were hanging all over. You know, and people telling me who were watching it, you know, said, yeah, you know, Carmen Appice was like, oh, behind you on your shoulder, you know. It was a kind of surreal juxtaposition with some imagery, I'd say, ladies. And then the next day, next night, Thurston read some poetry at this place in West Hollywood. What was that? I can't remember what it was called, but it was on Fairfax, a little place, a little gallery. And he had written an introduction for this lady's book, Georgianne something. I can't remember her name. She's a really sweet lady, a poet. And he wrote an introduction for her book. He knew of her through writing, didn't really know her personally until a couple weeks before this. And then what he did was read some poems and then read the introduction he wrote. And then me and Raymond, I went with Raymond Pettibone, and we had to go right after him. See Arthur Lee in Love, which was great. The last time we saw Arthur was maybe 10 years ago before he went to jail. And he didn't get one song out. He was tripping on mushrooms. So this was a real good gig. But anyway, I had my little machine and I tape Thurston reading poems. And that's what I'd like to play for you from August 19, 2003, West Hollywood. Here's Thurston Moore, Lot from Pedro Show.
Okay, that's a good one. My name's Thurston, and I'm here in honor of Georgianne, whose book, which season of them, has just been published through Prisonball Press. My association with Georgianne is fairly fresh, I think. I just met her about a week or two ago, and I knew Georgianne's name just from her name, just through her, I guess, art and... I didn't know her personally, but I've been editing a poetry journal for the last few years called the Ecstatic Peace Poetry Journal, and I do it out of Western Massachusetts, where I live right now. And a friend of mine who also lives around there, this fellow Byron Coley, who some of you may remember from him living here in Los Angeles in the 80s, early 80s, when he used to work at Rhino Records, and he's associated with SST Records. We were sort of concerned because the poetry magazine seemed fairly rife with male words, and we were looking for more women to write. And it did seem a problem because I live in a women's community. My household is very women dominated, and so most of my friends are women, so I was just always asked for poetry from my friends. And Byron wanted to reach out beyond the borders, and he said he was very interested in trying to contact Georgianne for some poetry. And I wasn't quite sure how he knew that you were a writer, a poet, beyond the fact that you're a visual artist. But do you know?
Actually, Gary Pancoin sent some stuff to him. And I sent some stuff to him, and then he didn't respond to me. And I took that message to him that I didn't try again for a year.
Oh.
But it turns out that he never got the stuff. But that's just how fate is, you know.
Oh, that's interesting. I never knew that. That's very interesting. Well, anyway, so through Gary Panther, who was a conduit to Byron of Georgianne's work, we were really into Georgianne's work, and we published it a few times in the Poetry Journal. And I didn't know anything about her. I didn't have any sort of vision of her whatsoever, except for through her words. And I started looking at her various websites that has on her work, and so I was kind of intrigued. And I just met her a couple weeks ago, and she curated the Daring Gay Cree show at Bergmine, which was an amazing show. And so it was nice to meet her. And she asked me to write a foreword to her book, which I'll read at the end of the reading. So I'll read a few things. I'm a little kind of it's freaked out doing this, but I'll these poems are kind of hard to read, I think, for anybody. This first poem is called Peace Attack. 3 Feb. 03 peace attack. Early book whistling earth day off. Nature sex, yawn, winking, reminder of the great anti-hate. Springtime is wartime. All eyes to the crime boss. Electric guitar string, belly flowers. That was written for Allen Ginsberg. This poem is called Death Girl. Darling on the street, throbbing blood mind, milk bust sophisticate. It's not so much the coupling, but the mayhem. January. Non-musician, 9th Street Lord, shut down by snow, bored with energy. Fallen woman pose, aching sex life, a basket of cool milk, all of you, an award for the archive. New Hampshire. This is for Aerosmith. Trace paper flying word break. City scoot high alert. Kill us your skunk fight blues. Johnny Winter no show. BB King just turns on the New Hampshire boys. Steve and Joe have gone beyond doing it for life. Unlike Buddy Guy, who has decimated the riff bat with one hypertonic note. Lead on. Industrial noise. All my heroes turned out to be impudent snobs, self-involved blobs. You turned me on, Square O. We dig harsh electronics. God bless Joey. Newspaper delivery. Bless her to further degree. Protect her, let her go. Dancer, poet, spy, lesbian, nun, rock action, drummer, singer, theater goddess, film destroyer. A shocking figure in the eye of your universe. Oh, shitty guitar, we walk down the Bowery, down the street, flashing time. Ginsberg, Orlovsky, sitting stoops, holding hands on the subway. How dare they? Beautiful in the heat, daring young old men, blondies crying. Chickens dead or almost dying. It all comes crystal clear with Lou Reed checking out Ramones. Best band in the world, he knows. Oh, shitty guitar, smash through Allen, Corso, Burroughs, Berrigan. Second Avenue stroll, anarchy, cigarette and beard. Send the moon through the skylight, bells together outrageously, noise ball, flirtatious example. Here comes something unbeknownst to pop scribes. Their search for tunes is over. They are angry and bored. There is danger. This is music. These are our killer tunes. Bubblegum disaster. Who was loudest? Well, fucking White House at the Mud Club, that's for sure. I can still hear it, and it was 1984. even louder were fucking the Dictators, who played an inanely loud set at the Blitz Benefit in 1978 at CBGB. Jesus, that was fucked. And fucking Neubauten at the Ritz in 1989 or some shit. Fucking painful. Smoking ghosts pull my trendy tweed cross canal, positioned forever against the street pole, West Broadway and North Moor. The gang smokes and hangs hot steamed August, cool leaf November, deadbeat memory. Who can save me? Debbie Harry's bed, rapacious lovemaker, hot sex comics, salacious city love, cool sex loneliness. Can't even begin to thank 75. Patti Smith wore a black motorcycle jacket, black hair, eyes wet alive, looking over Rock Girl's shoulder, smiling skin, white like clouds, skinny young white black rock and roll magazine, America's only rock and roll magazine, heavy shit. Street scene, street rock, New York City, Velvet, Stooges, Dolls, New Deadly, Patti Smith is new, news, poetry, record reviews, lowercase, subterranean, all the way downtown, boarded up street, Bowery, no disco, typewriter words, black on white, jacket, hair and eyes, poems and rock and roll, punk poems, punk poemist. '78, I could never sleep. Sweltering hell of 13th Street, I may be the only skinny lapel on the block. Can hardly pay $108 a month. Lydia Lunch lives down the street, but I never see her. Well, once in front of the laundromat, ring in her nose, frightening and beautiful. We were only 20 years old, but she had already killed many, many people. This is unsubmitted ad copy for Nels Klein's sad CD. The only replacement for money is no money. More money makes more money worse. This is sad, but sad is good. Sonic Youth is playing a tiny club in New Orleans with Unwound and Polvo, and the place is a pressure cooker ready to blow. A girl in the audience scales the club wall, stands precariously on a lighting rig beam. We have to stop playing and coax her down. Kim asks her why she's up there. She explains she can't see, and for $30 she wants to see. We tell her that tickets are only $15. And she confesses she had to buy one for her boyfriend. Kim says, that was your first mistake.
I think it's one.
Can't catch me, I'm syntax free, I'm preconceived preternaturally. I don't invest in what is best, your once and for all means shit to me. Hate translator, hate translator, hate translator, you can't catch me. Don't mistake her, don't misshape her, you don't mutate her, you can't get me. The radical beacon, the pre-verbal season, the abstract poetics of immediate treason. Do you remember reductionist lie, the fundamentalist alibi? Hate castrator, hate castrator, don't fuck with me. Don't you break her and don't deflate her. Don't outdate her or you'll fuck with me. It's a cushy job, a pussy's job, a cum junkie's job. Makes her dick throb. Feel ineffable, can't catch me, I'm syntax free, I'm preconceived prehistorically, don't be alarmed, don't be alarmed, it's only me. Come back in my arms, come back in my arms, come back to my arms, the ineffable me. Okay, I'll read one more, and then I'm going to read just the short introduction I did to George Ann's book. I did not fade from the noise meditation. I stopped abruptly while spinning down. This is not a vanishing act. It is a gesture in silence for the sweet retreat the heart has made in regard and honor to the activist girl. Now, I wrote this before I knew or had ever talked to Georgiann, let alone ever saw who Georgiann really was. And so, keep that in mind, I suppose. Georgiann is an out-of-sight name. Teenage Georgiann in Texas backyard, transfixed by high, high sky, profoundly ID'd by the name. Cool, like sucking a blue ice pop in a joint through the wicked heat at the Texas Pop Fest. Blast! Mom, like a magnet, spun around, repelling, yet so utterly conscious of same soul. The connection, beautiful, yet breached by pulls to new El Show. B.B. King just turns on the New Hampshire boys. Steve and Joe have gone beyond doing it for life. Unlike Buddy Guy, who has decimated the riff bat with one hypertonic note. Lead on, lead on. Industrial noise. All my heroes turned out to be impudent snobs, self-involved blobs. You turned me on, Square O. We dig harsh electronics. God bless Joey. Newspaper delivery. Bless her to further degree. Protect her, let her go. Dancer, poet, spy, lesbian, nun, rock action, drummer, singer, theater goddess, film destroyer, a shocking figure in the eye of your universe. Oh, shitty guitar, we walk down the Bowery, down the street, flashing time, Ginsberg, Orlovsky, sitting stoops, holding hands on the subway. How dare they? Beautiful in the heat, daring, daring young old men, blondies crying, chickens dead or almost dying. It all comes crystal clear with Lou Reed checking out Ramones, best band in the world, he knows. Oh, shitty guitar. Anarchy, cigarette and beard. Send the moon through the skylight, bells together outrageously, noise ball, flirtatious example. Here comes something unbeknownst to pop scribes. Their search for tunes is over. They are angry and bored. There is danger. This is music. These are our killer tunes. Bubblegum disaster. Who was loudest? Well, fucking White House at the Mud Club, that's for sure. I can still hear it, and it was 1984. Even louder were fucking the Dictators, who played an inanely loud set at the Blitz Benefit in 1978 at CBGB. Jesus, that was fucked. And fucking Neubauten at the Ritz in 1989 or some shit. Fucking painful. Smoking ghost, pull my trendy tweed cross canal, positioned forever against the street pole, West Broadway and North Moore. The gang smokes and hangs hot, steamed August, cool leaf November, deadbeat memory. Who can save me? Debbie Harry's bed, rapacious lovemaker, hot sex comics, salacious city love, cool sex loneliness. Can't even begin to thank 75. Patti Smith wore a black motorcycle jacket, black hair, eyes wet alive, looking over Rock Girl's shoulder, smiling skin, white like clouds, skinny young white black rock and roll magazine, America's only rock and roll magazine, heavy shit. Street scene, street rock, New York City, Velvet, Stooges, Dolls, new deadly, Patti Smith is new news, poetry record reviews, lowercase, subterranean, all the way downtown, boarded up street, Bowery, no disco, typewriter words, black on white, jacket, hair and eyes, poems and rock and roll, punk poems, punk poemist. '78, I could never sleep. Sweltering hell of 13th Street, I may be the only skinny lapel on the block. Can hardly pay $108 a month. Lydia Lunch lives down the street, but I never see her. Well, once in front of the laundromat, wringing her nose, frightening and beautiful. We were only 20 years old, but she had already killed many, many people. This is unsubmitted ad copy for Nels Klein's sad CD. The only replacement for money is no money. More money makes more money worse. This is sad, but sad is good. Sonic Youth is playing a tiny club in New Orleans with Unwound and Polvo, and the place is a pressure cooker ready to blow. A girl in the audience scales the club wall, stands precariously on a lighting rig beam. We have to stop playing and coax her down. Kim asks her why she's up there. She explains she can't see, and for $30 she wants to see. We tell her that tickets are only $15. And she confesses she had to buy one for her boyfriend. Kim says, that was your first mistake.
I think there's one more.
Can't catch me, I'm tax-free, I'm preconceived preternaturally. I don't invest in what is best, your once and for all means shit to me. Hate translator, hate translator, hate translator, you can't catch me. Don't mistake her, don't misshape her, you don't mutate her, you can't get me. The radical beacon, the pre-verbal season, the abstract poetics of immediate treason. Do you remember reductionist lie, the fundamentalist alibi? Hate castrator, don't fuck with me. Don't you break her and don't deflate her. Don't outdate her or you'll fuck with me. It's a cushy job, a pussy's job, a cum junkie's job. Makes her dick throb. Feel ineffable. Can't catch me. I'm syntax free. I'm preconceived prehistorically. Don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed. It's only me. Come back in my arms. Come back in my arms. Come back to my arms. The ineffable me. Okay, I'll read one more, and then I'm going to read just the short introduction I did to George Ann's book. I did not fade from the noise meditation. I stopped abruptly while spinning down. This is not a vanishing act. It is a gesture in silence for the sweet retreat the heart has made in regard and honor to the activist girl. Now, I wrote this before I knew or had ever talked to George Ann, let alone ever saw who George Ann really was. And so, keep that in mind, I suppose. George Ann is an out-of-sight name. Teenage George Ann in Texas backyard, transfixed by high, high sky.
Pretty early today.
By the name. Cool, like sucking a blue ice pop in a joint through the wicked heat at the Texas Pop Fest. Blast! Mom, like a magnet, spun around, repelling, yet so utterly conscious of same soul. The connection, beautiful, yet breached by pulls to new El Show. B.B. King just turns on the New Hampshire boys. Steve and Joe have gone beyond doing it for life. unlike Buddy Guy, who has decimated the riff bat with one hypertonic note. Lead on, lead on. Industrial noise. All my heroes turned out to be impudent snobs, self-involved blobs. You turned me on, Square O. We dig harsh electronics. God bless Joey. Newspaper delivery. Bless her to further degree. Protect her, let her go. Dancer, poet, spy, lesbian, nun, rock action, drummer, singer, theater goddess, film destroyer, a shocking figure in the eye of your universe. Oh, shitty guitar, we walk down the Bowery, down the street, flashing time, Ginsberg, Orlovsky, sitting stoops, holding hands on the subway. How dare they? Beautiful in the heat, daring, daring young old men, blondies crying, chickens dead or almost dying. It all comes crystal clear with Lou Reed checking out Ramones, best band in the world, he knows. Oh, shitty guitar.
Yeah, we have.
Anarchy, cigarette and beard. Send the moon through the skylight, bells together outrageously, noise ball, flirtatious example. Here comes something unbeknownst to pop scribes. Their search for tunes is over. They are angry and bored. There is danger. This is music. These are our killer tunes. Bubblegum disaster. Who was loudest? Well, fucking White House at the Mud Club, that's for sure. I can still hear it, and it was 1984. Even louder were fucking the Dictators, who played an inanely loud set at the Blitz Benefit in 1978 at CBGB. Jesus, that was fucked. And fucking Neubau at the Ritz in 1989 or some shit. Fucking painful. Smoking ghosts pull my trendy tweed cross canal, positioned forever against the street pole, West Broadway and North Moor. The gang smokes and hangs hot, steamed August, cool leaf November, deadbeat memory. Who can save me? Debbie Harry's bed, rapacious lovemaker, hot sex comics, salacious city love, cool sex loneliness. Can't even begin to thank 75. Patti Smith wore a black motorcycle jacket, black hair, eyes wet alive, looking over Rock Girl's shoulder, smiling skin, white like clouds, skinny young white black rock and roll magazine, America's only rock and roll magazine, heavy shit. Street scene, street rock, New York City, Velvet, Stooges, Dolls, New Deadly, Patti Smith is new, news, poetry, record reviews, lowercase, subterranean, all the way downtown, boarded up street, white, jacket, hair, and eyes, poems and rock and roll, punk poems, punk poemist. '78, I could never sleep. Sweltering hell of 13th Street, I may be the only skinny lapel on the block. Can hardly pay $108 a month. Lydia Lunch lives down the street, but I never see her. Well, once in front of the laundromat, wringing her nose, frightening and beautiful. We were only 20 years old, but she had already killed many, many people. This is unsubmitted ad copy for Nels Klein's sad CD. The only replacement for money is no money. More money makes more money worse. This is sad, but sad is good. 1995. Sonic Youth is playing a tiny club in New Orleans with Unwound and Polvo, and the place is a pressure cooker ready to blow. A girl in the audience scales the club wall, stands precariously on a lighting rig beam. We have to stop playing and coax her down. Kim asks her why she's up there. She explains she can't see, and for $30, she wants to see. We tell her that tickets are only $15. And she confesses she had to buy one for her boyfriend. Kim says, that was your first mistake.
I think it's one more.
Can't catch me. I don't invest in what is best. Your once and for all means shit to me. Hate translator, hate translator, hate translator, you can't catch me. Don't mistake her, don't misshape her. You don't mutate her, you can't get me. The radical beacon, the pre-verbal season, the abstract poetics of immediate treason. Do you remember reductionist lie, the fundamentalist alibi? Hate castrator, hate castrator, don't fuck with me. Don't you break her and don't deflate her. Don't outdate her or you'll fuck with me. It's a cushy job, a pussy's job, a cum junkie's job. Makes her dick throb. Feel ineffable. Can't catch me. I'm syntax free. I'm preconceived prehistorically. Don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed. It's only me. Come back in my arms. Come back in my arms. Come back to my arms. The ineffable me. Okay, I'll read one more, and then I'm going to read just the short introduction I did to George Ann's book. I did not fade from the noise meditation. I stopped abruptly while spinning down. This is not a vanishing act. It is a gesture in silence for the sweet retreat the heart has made in regard and honor to the activist girl. Now, I wrote this before I knew or had ever talked to George Ann, let alone ever saw who George Ann really was. And so, keep that in mind, I suppose. George Ann is an out-of-sight name. Teenage George Ann in Texas backyard, transfixed by high, high sky.
I'm in doing James Brown tune. Called People Wake Up and Live.
Joint to the wicked heat at the Texas Pop Fest. Blast. Mom like a magnet spun around, repelling, yet so utterly conscious of same soul. The connection, beautiful, yet breached by pulls to new El Show. B.B. King just turns on the New Hampshire boys. Steve and Joe have gone beyond doing it for life. Unlike Buddy Guy, who has decimated the riff bat with one hypertonic note. Lead on, lead on. Industrial noise. All my heroes turned out to be impudent snobs, self-involved blobs. You turned me on, Square O. We dig harsh electronics. God bless Joey. Newspaper delivery. Bless her to further degree. Protect her, let her go. Dancer, poet, spy, lesbian, nun, rock action, drummer, singer, theater goddess, film destroyer. A shocking figure in the eye of your universe. Oh, shitty guitar, we walk down the Bowery, down the street, flashing time. Ginsberg, Orlovsky, sitting stoops,
holding hands on the subway. How dare they? Beautiful in the heat, daring, daring young old men, blondies crying, chickens dead or almost dying. It all comes crystal clear with Lou Reed checking out Ramones, best band in the world, he knows. Oh, shitty guitar.
It's huge,
the quality,
man.
The quality of people.
There was a lot of new folks, you know, so they were...
Anarchy, cigarette and beard. Send the moon through the skylight, bells together outrageously, noise ball, flirtatious example. Here comes something unbeknownst to pop scribes. Their search for tunes is over. They are angry and bored. There is danger. This is music. These are our killer tunes. Bubblegum disaster. Who was loudest? Well, fucking White House at the Mud Club, that's for sure. I can still hear it, and it was 1984. Even louder were fucking the Dictators, who played an inanely loud set at the Blitz Benefit in 1978 at CBGB. Jesus, that was fucked. And fucking Neubauten at the Ritz in 1989 or some shit. Fucking painful. Smoking ghosts pull my trendy tweed cross canal, positioned forever against the street pole, West Broadway and North Moor. The gang smokes and hangs hot steamed August, cool leaf November, deadbeat memory. Who can save me? Debbie Harry's bed, rapacious lovemaker, hot sex comics, salacious city love, cool sex loneliness. Can't even begin to thank 75. Tidy Smith wore a black motorcycle jacket, black hair, eyes wet alive, looking over Rock Girl's shoulder, smiling skin, white like clouds, skinny young white black rock and roll magazine, America's only rock and roll magazine, heavy shit, street scene, street rock, New York City, Velvet, Stooges, Dolls, New Deadly, Tidy Smith is new news, poetry, record reviews, lowercase, subterranean, all the way downtown, boarded up street, white, jacket, hair, and eyes, poems and rock and roll, punk poems, punk poemist. '78, I could never sleep. Sweltering hell of 13th Street, I may be the only skinny lapel on the block. Can hardly pay $108 a month. Lydia Lunch lives down the street, but I never see her. Well, once in front of the laundromat, ring in her nose, frightening and beautiful. We were only 20 years old, but she had already killed many, many people. This is unsubmitted ad copy for Nels Klein's sad CD. The only replacement for money is no money. More money makes more money worse. This is sad, but sad is good. Sonic Youth is playing a tiny club in New Orleans with Unwound and Polvo, and the place is a pressure cooker ready to blow. A girl in the audience scales the club wall, stands precariously on a lighting rig beam. We have to stop playing and coax her down. Kim asks her why she's up there. She explains she can't see, and for $30 she wants to see. We tell her that tickets are only $15. And she confesses she had to buy one for her boyfriend. Kim says, that was your first mistake.
I think there's one more.
Can't catch me.
Swimming in the dirt.
I don't invest in what is best. Your once and for all means shit to me. Hate translator, hate translator, hate translator, you can't catch me. Don't mistake her. Don't misshape her. You don't mutate her. You can't get me. The radical beacon, the pre-verbal season, the abstract poetics of immediate treason. Do you remember reductionist lie, the fundamentalist alibi? Hate castrator, don't fuck with me. Don't you break her and don't deflate her. Don't outdate her or you'll fuck with me. It's a cushy job, a pussy's job, a cum junkie's job. Makes her dick throb. Feel ineffable. Can't catch me. I'm syntax free. I'm preconceived prehistorically. Don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed. It's only me. Come back in my arms. Come back in my arms. Come back to my arms. The ineffable me. Okay, I'll read one more, and then I'm going to read just the short introduction I did to George Ann's book. I did not fade from the noise meditation. I stopped abruptly while spinning down. This is not a vanishing act. It is a gesture in silence for the sweet retreat the heart has made in regard and honor to the activist girl. Now, I wrote this before I knew or had ever talked to George Ann, let alone ever saw who George Ann really was. And so, keep that in mind, I suppose. George Ann is an out-of-sight name. Teenage George Ann in Texas backyard, transfixed by high, high sky.
Property near Center Camp, next to...
People wake up and live.
Joint to the wicked heat at the Texas Pop Fest. Blast. Mom like a magnet spun around, repelling, yet so utterly conscious of same soul. The connection, beautiful, yet breached by pulls to new El Show. B.B. King just turns on the New Hampshire boys. Steve and Joe have gone beyond doing it for life. Unlike Buddy Guy, who has decimated the riff bat with one hypertonic note. Lead on, lead on. Industrial noise. All my heroes turned out to be impudent snobs, self-involved blobs. You turned me on, Square O. We dig harsh electronics. God bless Joey. Newspaper delivery. Bless her to further degree. Protect her, let her go. Dancer, poet, spy, lesbian, nun, rock action, drummer, singer, theater goddess, film destroyer, a shocking figure in the eye of your universe. Oh, shitty guitar, we walk down the Bowery, down the street, flashing time, Ginsberg, Orlovsky, sitting stoops, holding hands on the subway, how dare they, beautiful in the heat, daring, daring young old men, blondies crying, chickens dead or almost dying. It all comes crystal clear with Lou Reed checking out Ramones, best band in the world, he knows. Oh, shitty guitar.
Right from our camp, which is on the streets, Gospel and Revealed, right on the corner. So we were way down in the noisy section. Got to ride to Center Camp. Then the Green Tortoise, classic bus line. They're like the Burning Man bus line, so they got like a little loop going.
Bells together, outrageously. Noise ball, flirtatious example. Here comes something unbeknownst to pop scribes. Their search for tunes is over. They are angry and bored. There is danger. This is music. These are our killer tunes. Bubblegum disaster. Who was loudest? Well, fucking White House at the Mud Club, that's for sure. I can still hear it, and it was 1984.
Even louder were fucking the Dictators, who played an inanely loud set at the Blitz Benefit in 1978 at CBGB. Jesus, that was fucked. And fucking Neubauten at the Ritz in 1989 or some shit. Fucking painful. Smoking ghost, pull my trendy tweed, cross canal, position forever against the street pole, West Broadway and North Moor. The gang smokes and hangs hot, steamed August, cool leaf November, deadbeat memory. Who can save me? Debbie Harry's bed, rapacious lovemaker, hot sex comics, salacious city love, cool sex loneliness. Can't even begin to thank 75. Patti Smith wore a black motorcycle jacket, black hair, eyes wet alive, looking over rock girl's shoulder, smiling skin, white like clouds, skinny young white black rock and roll magazine, America's only rock and roll magazine, heavy shit, street scene, street rock, New York City, Velvet, Stooges, Dolls, New Deadly, Patti Smith is new news, poetry, record reviews, lowercase, subterranean, all the way downtown, boarded up street.
Thank you, dude. So then, Doug, this place, Fernley, which wasn't getting much action on the right deal there, but fortunately, Mark Rad from Pedro, he just moved to Reno a couple months ago. He lived across the street for years, and he was in the Minuteman video, King of the Hill.
Wow.
So I just called him up out of the blue. He says he was never home at that time. He was home. And he drove out there and picked me up the rest of the way. So, yeah, we had a good time. Hung in Tahoe, did some swimming up there. I never really got to hang up there before. So that really sweetened up the miserable part. Then flew, had to hassle with the plane because security stuff, airport. I was supposed to go to Orange County, which was mellow, but had to go to LAX and get the hassle. But overall, alive and well. And back in action in Pedro.
Oh, great.
Semester at school. And this thing just went on the blink because it was sitting there during the ramble.
That's so, okay. We're getting things set up for Brother Matt to do another edition of his spin cycle. Here on the Watt from Pedro show, last days of summer.
Yeah, it's bunk. At least it's sunny today.
Yeah. Here we go.
The first is that whenever you listen to this record, have a notebook handy and make notes as we go along. The second is that this record was produced for your own personal use, to go with you on your own exciting journey. To play this record for a group will prove to be of only temporary help. Make sure you have your own personal copy to play again and again, particularly at those times when you may feel yourself getting off the track.
Babylon, this is the final day. Babylon, this is the final call. We'll read the writing that's on the wall. Said divided we stand, and together we fall. Walking Babylon, there is no wisdom to your freedom. The richest man in Babylon. Oh, 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 oh. Your beggars sleep outside your doorway. Your prophets leave to wander. Oh, you fall asleep at night with worries. The saddest man in Babylon. Oh, 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 oh. Thank you.
September 5th, 2003. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show. I should explain, we ran over, kind of. I had to talk to Sally at the studio, tell her about the Chili Pepper tour. Well, I'll tell you guys after. But what we should do here is get to part 31 of the fourth tower of Inverness.
Lord Jowls and Jack Flanders are preparing themselves for a long voyage. A voyage they hope will take them to the source of the strange jukebox that plays the old 50s music. As we look in, we find them preparing for their voyage. They are now packing provisions into a small sailboat.
That's quite a breathtaking design printed on the sail. It's a mandala, isn't it?
Yes, I have several different mandalas. This one I chose specifically for this voyage.
Oh, what exactly is the significance of a mandala?
Well, briefly, it's a technical aid.
Oh, is that all you have to say?
Obviously, it assists to open the mind to the experience of higher dimensions.
So that sail enables us to move from one realm to another?
That and other aids.
I take it this boat is supposed to fly.
I believe so.
You mean you don't know?
It's only built for one, but it can carry two, I hope. Well, shall we? To the launching pad.
Well, where's that?
I'll carry the bow. You carry the stern. Here we go. It's this way. Here we are. This is the spot. Oh, perfect. A lovely grassy slope, wouldn't you say?
Yes. Boy. Hey, wait a minute. You mean we're going to slide down that hill and then shoot off the edge of that cliff?
Of course.
Wow. And I'm supposed to be relaxed by the time we reach the cliff?
A true test. Well, shall we? I'll man the rudder, and you take to the bow.
Me? At the front?
Of course. I'm no keener to watch that black abyss approaching than you are.
Yeah, and since you're the captain...
Exactly. Righto. All set to give the old girl a shove? Heave ho, and off we go!
The small sandalwood sailboat slides down the slope. The flat bottom of the boat skims across the slick green grass. The craft picks up momentum. Faster and faster, the long shiny blades of grass pass in a blur as the black edge of the cliff approaches swiftly. And then suddenly there it is, from silver green beneath to blackness, and they're over the edge and aloft.
It flies!
Quite. I admit it is rather startling.
You can say that again.
Quite. I admit it is rather startling.
You can say that again.
Quite. It's slightly different than flying on a carpet, but the general principles are the same. The wind doesn't arrest.
Hey, how wide is this desert of burning desires?
It's impossible to measure in our terms. It's relative to your desires. The more difficult or greater the distance. I believe we're approaching the desert.
I heard a voice.
A mere shimmering mirage of this strange desert, my boy. Look, now you can see it. The desert.
And there it is indeed. And are you ready for this one? Far ahead lies a region almost beyond the imagination. A desert of slowly shifting sands. A dull smoke-colored light that shapes itself into forms. Moaning, tormented beings that are somehow familiar to Jack and very disturbing.
Yes, this is the realm of the Pretors, beings that cling to the objects of desire without a possibility of satisfaction. restless spirits filled with unsatisfied passions, leading a ghost-like existence in a world of imaginary objects of their desire. These are the beings that often haunt the places of their former existence, to which they are fettered by their unsatisfied desires. They're ghoulish wallers with spindly, dried-up limbs and bloated bellies, tortured by insatiable hunger and thirst, without being able to satisfy them. You'll note that what little they are able to swallow through the narrow gullet of their necks causes them unspeakable tortures, since food is indigestible for them and merely bloats up their bellies. And whatever they drink turns into fire.
Poor babies. Is there no hope for these pitiful creatures?
Only if they can succeed in replacing unwholesome objects with wholesome ones. Then these suffering beings may be liberated from the tortures of unquenchable desires.
As the small boat sails above this insane desert, the forms lash at the fragile hull. The old adventurer suddenly awakens from his own disturbing thoughts.
I say, Jack, snap out of it.
What?
My golly, watch out for those hooks.
Oh.
They're reaching out to the side. Pick up one of those silver oars and give them a good whack.
What are these speakers for?
By Jove, I forgot. This'll bite through that moaning.
Good grief, that sounds like the Madonna Vampiro.
We'll feed them a little of their own, eh? Keep alert now. There's one for the Queen. And another for Prince Charles. One for Henry Higgins. Such a nice one. Come on, Ben. It's time for tea.
Tea? Now?
You keep them at bay while I pour us a cup. Here's one, Aunt. Take it, two. That's not cricket. I say, get your sandy fingers out of my mouth. Mr. Flanders, I regret to say, a great tragedy has fallen upon us.
Oh, no. What could be worse than this?
The milk, alas, has gone off.
Oh.
Thank you. not me. They said, how true. They said, not you. They thought, how wise. And thought, goodbye. You hit your stride and missed their mind.
I knew that was by me. And not
they said,
or cry
true, and said, not you.
They
thought, or cry wise, and thought, goodbye.
You
did, or cry strive, and missed their eye. Too good, from good to fair, to barely pass, stay after class. I'm hot, I'm cold, I'm bought, I'm sold. First accolades, then hand grenades.
Rally me for time.
You looked, they need your book.
Rally me for time.
Your guts, you've heard another.
Rally, it's not for time.
Your day, it's not your week.
Rally, it's not for time.
Your luck, it's not your year.
First day, okay.
From death to death, from smart to dumb, from breath to grumps, from wild to bored, or lay and gore.
I've got thrown again.
Just desserts from your or me to serve to be from bone demand to sing upon the golden door to bear a lord.
I don't
just
or cry
desserts to just desserts
from your
or me to serve to be
from
bone or cry demand to sing upon
the
golden door to bear a lord.
each other, baby. Makes us do things some folks just don't understand. I live each few minutes I can spend with you. I just keep a hand.
Pedro Show. Oops, didn't get that up quick enough. That's Marcia Ball, Another Woman's Man. Before that, we had Sparks with Ride 'em Cowboy. Brother Matt tripping on Sparks. It's been a while.
Yeah, a long while.
Heard them cat. What'd you say they were like?
I just had the vision of like the little Charlie McCarthy type of a dude on your knee, little makeup mannequin type of dummy.
You didn't know they were brothers.
No, I don't think I. If I did, I didn't remember.
The male brothers, Ron and Russell, and they're just two now.
The Redondo dudes, huh?
Yeah, and they run pewters and stuff. But in the old days, they went to England in the early 70s and got an English band behind them, and they were part of the glam glitter thing. Stoney big enough for the both of us. Before that, we had a Pony Boy from the Fever. These were given to me CDs. Screaming Gun, Black Rebel Motorcycle Club. I played with them in London back in December, almost a year ago, with the Ashton Brothers and Jay Massey's at the Brixton Ace. And Hurricane Heart Attack by the Warlocks. And we started off with part 31 of the Fourth Tower of Inverness. Only three more parts left. We got kind of way late on the second hour there, but Brother Matt had a good spin cycle, so we just rode it on out.
Cool.
Calexico's No, we got the fall next, and then Calexico. Calexico, these cats, they do this mariachi. They have mariachis play with them sometimes. They're a Tucson band. And actually, the cat, Joey, he's from the Hill here, PV. He worked at SST, and he still has Victor do his artwork. Saw Victor the other day at Raymond's.
So are they like a Nortec or a Tex-Mex?
Yeah, well, they are all kinds of things. Sometimes they're just stripped down, four-piece.
Sometimes
the they bring on the mariachis, and they have this full-on band. And maybe a day or two before that London gig I was just telling you about, we played in France, and they were on the bill, and Joey had me come on stage and do Corona with him.
Cool.
Which was trippy. And they had a guy on stand-up bass and a guy on guitaron. And so I played electric bass. There's three bass players.
Cool.
I hadn't played that song in years. For those that don't know, that's a song a lot of the young people call the Jackass song. Yeah, you know, these kids tell me.
First tune on the disc, huh?
Well, they know about it. Is it?
I think so.
It's a theme song. Spike asked me when he's put together the pilot. I saw the pilot for him, and I thought it was pretty intense. People, way people could hear D. Boone play. It's actually a heavy song about us in Mexico, and D. Boone saw this lady picking up bottles the night after all this partying on the beach. Yeah, and it's now associated with doing crazy stuff. Going into on the pilot I saw tape, this guy who's dressed in county orange overalls, handcuffed, he goes into the hardware store asking the people for hacksaw. They all freak out and call the cops. This lady sheriff comes jamming in there, forgets to put the car in park, and drives up on the sidewalk. It was intense, unforeseen.
D. Boone album out now, right?
Yeah, Richard Derrick put out this record on his Box of Plenty label, because he was roommates with him and Linda for a while, and some jams, and D. Boone playing solo acoustic at clubs, and on electric, Hammer Down side project he had. A couple of gigs, and that's out now. But here's something that I really like. My favorite fall album was called Dragnet, and Thurston gave me the CD. All this old, their own label was Step Forward, and they've got a CD of all the Step Forward stuff. So here's a song from there called Spectre versus Rector, Watt from P. Show.
Thank you. Spectre. Only he could save him, Spectre. The sparrow was a strange man. Those flowers take them away, sir. Only you can decoration. And oh, this is a frustration. A nation of no imagination. The stupid man is an ideal. He should be and make me a clean. A clean.
Thank you. just see you this one time. I sit alone, everyone's at home. I see it, I believe, somehow I know it's true. Don't you let it get to me, I'll live inside of you. I have heard it said before, it'll never happen. Had it drilled in since a kid, it makes my head spin. I'm still looking for these things that I can't find. Thoughts just come and go, swirling through my mind. I see me and you, then it's him I'm thinking of. We sit alone, no one else at home. I taste it, I feel, and now I know it's true. Your genetic kiss reveals I'll always be with you. Baby, baby,
Lot from Pedro Show. That was some live meat puppets.
Bitten.
Hot Pink from the channel Boston, 1990. Before that, we had Like a Ghost on Fire, which was myself, Thurston Moore on guitar, and Talia singing. Something I did at Thunderpants, a little studio. I got my iPad. It was a trippy record. It's part of this compilation called You've Got Your Orders, where this cat gave us like 22, 23 different people song titles and said, make a song out of this. That's the one. He gave me the title Like a Ghost on Fire, so that's what I picked. For that, Don't Know What I Am by the Wipers from their first album. Genetic, B-side from Sonic Youth, Mr. Ronaldo on the singing. Pepita from Calexico, their new record. And we started off with Spectre versus Rector, The Fall. Coming at the end now, another Watt from Pedro Show, the September 5th, 2003 edition. Brother Matt, thank you very much for essential aid and abetting. I'm going to go away for a week to do these Stooges gigs overseas. Oh, I wanted to tell you, you know that band The Fever? We played there, that song Pony Boy. Well, looking on the credits, turns out the bass player's name is Pony, so maybe that is his theme song.
So you mentioned you're going to be doing the Chili Peppers thing coming up, too.
Oh, huh? That's right. Chili Pepper tour, opening up for them on the West Coast, in U.S. and Canada. October 8th, October 29th, with myself and the Second Man.
Cool.
And the Flaming Lips in the middle spot for the U.S. gigs. And, yeah, it'll be a trip. I know JR and Pete's never played arenas and sheds, so
yeah, it'll be fun.
Mind blow for them. And then we'll get to recording that next album.
Cool.
So, everybody, summer's almost done. Fall's coming. So get your sweaters on. And keep your powder dry.